The ruler's back. Can I have like Slick Rick playing in the background? That would have been nice. But you know, I'm too lazy to edit. What up, y'all? This is Ashtel Dim laying in my bed because, you know, will you listen to my bed in astrology? Hello. It's good to be back in this bitch. Hello, hello, hello. I wanted to talk, y'all. I would like to apologize. I kept saying, I'm going to do the podcast. I promise I'm going to do the podcast now. And, I just didn't. I did it. And I apologize for that because, you know, I do love serving y'all. I do love talking about this stuff, but sometimes I have these moments of like creative blocks. And I know you're like, well, bitch, you be making content on TikTok all the damn time. And that's true, but the creative block is coming from more so on the platform that I use. You know, it becomes difficult sometimes. And so what I want to do is really be more open and loose when it comes to the podcast and just have like spiritual ramblings where I just talk about random things with astrology, divination, subconscious mind, spirituality. You know, with me, I was an astrologer first. And so you know that, I was technically spiritual first, but you know, I'm always going to apply astrology into it. So for all my astrology heads, don't worry. Astrology will be applied to everything that I talk about, okay? Or some form of divination too, but definitely astrology. But yeah, I want it to be kind of like spiritual ramblings. So I can just pick something that I want to talk about and just talk about it. And I don't feel pressured to talk about a specific thing. Like, of course, if you guys have requests, I will definitely get into that. I will even make a request box soon on my links. But yeah, y'all, like I just I need some freedom in my life. I can't follow like specific I wouldn't say rules. I can't just follow a routine and pattern all the time. It kills me. It literally kills me inside. I know all the sidereal astrologers are like, yeah, bitch, because you're technically Sun Sag. Okay, whatever. You got that. I'm not even arguing that. So, whatever. You know, I like all types of astrology. I'm not one of those weirdos that discriminate astrologies. I think that's stupid. But, yeah, y'all, hey. Today we're going to talk about Vesta. Yes. We're going to talk about Vesta today. Yes, it's easy for you to put in Vesta, you know, especially if you use astro.com, because Vesta is one of the asteroids that's towards the side that you can choose. So I don't think I need to add the asteroid number. The asteroid number is like super low. I think it's like, I think Ceres is one, Vesta might be 3, maybe. I should probably check that out. But yeah, like basically, I want to talk about Vesta. People ask about Vesta all the time. People have very interesting interpretations of Vesta. But I really want to, like, bring it home and get y'all the knowledge of Vesta from my perspective and why I have the interpretation that I have. Now, if you gotten the mini reading of Vesta I did, like, maybe 2 years ago, you would know what it's about. I talk about Vesta before on Twitter. But you know, I have a specific interpretation of Vesta that I think more people should implement. It's not just because it's coming from me. It is because, like, when I try to do interpretations of stuff, like my own interpretation, I try to put it in a window that fits every scenario. So you could apply it anytime, anywhere. Right, so for instance, like I remember I was reading up on Vesta maybe like in 2017, and someone was like, it's connected to tantric sex, and I'm like, okay, I can see that, you know, I can see that, but like, how can you apply it in other parts of your life? It's not just tantric sex, Vesta was a virgin, so it can't just be tantric. Like, I didn't say where they were coming from, but you know what I mean? Like, there's more to it. And I feel like if we have like an overall interpretation, you can apply it to any situation in your life. Just like, I don't know, just like you can with all the other planets. You know what I mean? So yeah, let's end this half of it, and then I'm gonna speak on the Vesta, the Vesta myths that pops up, because you don't have like a solid myth. And then we'll talk about the Vestal Virgins, right? And then I'll speak on my interpretation. I'll use my interpretation last so y'all can listen all the way through, because I don't like giving my interpretation and then y'all like, okay, I got it, and then run off. Like, no, you're gonna listen to me talk. You're gonna understand the situation, damn it. Okay? All right. All right, guys, so let's go ahead and talk about the myth. And then with the myth, I'm going to go deeper into the information and I'll break down the myth a little bit deeper, okay? So let's talk about Vesta. Vesta is the goddess of the home, the hearth, and the sacrificial flame. And she is deeply known as a domestic goddess. You may wonder, like, what is a hearth? Well, the hearth is connected to back in those days, they would have like a flame in an area where they have like the flame, and you can like cook with it, you can be warmed, they have warm with it, not really cook with it for the most part, but it's a place where you can get your warmth, people can gather, enjoy themselves by the fire and things like that. And so they will have it within their home, but there was also community hearths as well. And she was the goddess of that. And those were important places, because, again, this is where you get heat. This is where some people cook their food. This is where certain people did rituals. This is where certain people enjoyed themselves. And everyone kind of gathered and come together. So hearths were extremely important. And so, you know, she ended up becoming the goddess of one of the most important things in human life. Same, and you know, because it's connected to the home, like, she ended up being a domestic goddess as well. Now, the beginning of her story, she was the oldest and the youngest of Cronos's children. So I know you're like, what the fuck, what does that mean? Well, if you know Cronos's myth, Cronos is Saturn, by the way, he had children and then he swallowed them. Yes, what a wonderful father. He had children and he swallowed him. So he swallowed them in the order in which they were born. So, you know, Vesta was the firstborn. He swallowed her first. And when he regurgitated her out, you know, because she was the first he swallowed, he threw her up last. So she is the youngest and the oldest. You know, it's kind of like she's the youngest of her mother. I mean, the oldest of her mother, but the youngest of her father. Ain't that something? Okay, so that's, you know, that's her beginnings, right? It's dealing with that shit. Mind you, her father is Cronos or Saturn, her mother is Rhea. And you know, she got old enough, you know, Poseidon and Apollo wanted to marry her, but she took an oath for her to be a eternal virgin and to take the royal hearth and take care of it. Again, the Olympus hearth, which is, you know, very important because it takes care and warms the gods and the takes the gods and stuff like that, right? So she's like, I'll take care of that. Let me take care of the royal hearth, okay? And so she kind of went off with that. And with Zeus's permission, things went fine. You know, she was able to do that. I can't help but to feel that she may have been avoiding relationships, right? It kind of was like, ooh, I don't want to do that, so I'm going to focus more on this. It seemed like she would rather take care of the hearth more than anything. it's kind of interesting too. It's kind of like, why do you have to be a virgin in order to take care of the hearth? Like, she just made up of her own position, which is really interesting. So it's kind of like, was she not, did she not want to get married? Did she not want to be with Poseidon or Apollo? You know, like, it's interesting. Like, is she asexual? Like, you kind of wonder, but she's like avoiding something to get something else. That's the kind of vibe that I'm seeing. You know, she's rejecting love and romance to dedicate her life and being a specific type of goddess. So I thought that was really interesting to see. Now another section of her, like a part of her story, and you know, she doesn't have a whole myth. She's kind of like dropped into other people's myths, it kind of seems like, you know what I mean? But there was one time in which Zeus was dethroned, and she was the only goddess in God who didn't find any interest in taking his spot. So everybody else is fighting for it, everyone else is talking and like having all this, and she's like, taking care of the hearth, fuck all of y'all, I'm gonna take care of the hearth. Like, she's kind of like really was not paying attention to all that mess. And so Zeus kind of felt like, you know, wow, like she just went off and did her job. He felt some type of loyalty to Vesta. She's just like, yeah, y'all can argue about that. Like, she really just wanted to do her job. So it kind of, again, shows this dedication and devotion to what she did. She didn't let anything distract her from it at all. You know what I mean? And that's how she went. Now, Rhea, you know, her mother, had a great, great feast. This is another myth, right? And all the gods and goddesses were invited to it. They all had a really, really good time. They got lit. They got drunk. You know what I mean? And, you know, they kind of went and did their own thing. And after, like, they were kind of, like, were too intoxicated and too full, a lot of them just picked out a spot and laid out in the grass. Because they're like, man, let me just take this nap real quick. I got the itis. Like, let me get myself together. Now there's this person, is like a mini god, I guess, named Priapus. If you took my class with the astrological retreat I did, then you know who Priapus is, because I talked about Priapus. In the class I talked about Lilith, and Lilith and Priapus don't have a direct connection, but they do have some interesting connection, right? But you know, Priapus was basically a god who was damned to have an erection that he couldn't relieve. So it's just like a forever eternal erection, right? So he came around and he saw Vesta while she was laid out. Now, he was around because he was trying to find some nymphs to kind of get freaky with to relieve his erection. Now, he knew that he was damned, but he would still just try. He's like, let me just try. Please, Lord, let me just try to relieve this situation, right? So he saw her while trying to find them. So he was like, okay, this is my new target. And so he tried to creep on her while she slept. But, you know, another god, what is their name? I think it's Selenus or something like that. I forgot their name. They came in with his donkey, and the donkey screamed when they saw Priapus. That scream woke up Vesta, and she told the guards, and they beat the brakes out of him, out of Priapus, for trying to sexually assault her. Now, what's really interesting is that something that I've noticed is that, like, the Olympus gods, like, they typically were very loose with rape and sexual assault. Like, that was their thing. Like, and that was normalized. It was really, really a sad situation, right? So this is one of the first stories I heard of, you know, someone getting beaten like that for trying to rape a woman or a goddess. And so I feel like this shows how important they felt Vesta was, how loved Vesta was, how she was appreciated so much, and how they felt like her being a virgin was very important to the hearth being taken care of. I don't know, maybe just, you know, how the people think virginity is connected to purity and the flame has to be pure. Maybe it's something like that. But yeah, that's like one of the first times. So let me know if you can remember a time in which a goddess was like defended over sexual assault like this. I thought that was really interesting. And speaking of Vesta, so the Vesta, I believe, is the Roman name, but Hestia is the Greek, or it's vice versa. I always mix it up. But there's a Vesta and there's a Hestia. And, you know, I did mention, like, I don't know if I should give y'all the asteroid numbers, but you know what? I am, just so you can look at both where your Vesta and Hestia is. Now, what's funny with my energy is Vesta and Hestia are, in my chart, they're both in Virgo, and I think in the same house too. So it's kind of funny. I'm like, wow, I couldn't avoid this energy, huh? So let me actually find that for you guys, if you don't mind me holding up for a second. Hopefully my computer is not gonna embarrass me in front of y'all. Yay, it looks like it's not. Okay, so let me just pull this up. So with Vesta, Vesta is asteroid number 4, right? That's Hestia. I mean Vesta. Vesta is asteroid number 4. And Hestia, which is H-E-S-T-I-A, Hestia, is asteroid number 46. So you can use both. They mean literally the same thing. Okay? Because they have the same story. They had I think the Romans had a holiday celebration for a week between June 7th and the 15th called Vestalia, and it was really, really important. So that's the general myths that Vesta / Hestia were a part of. In the next section, I definitely am going to talk about the Vestal Virgins, definitely. And what I'm also going to talk about too, well, actually, no, you know what, I'll talk about the Vestal Virgins now. It's only 11 minutes. Yeah, so I'll talk about the Vestal Virgins now, and then I'll talk about the interpretation that I have. You know what? Fuck it. I'm going to do it all in one shot. I'm not going to break shit up. There you go. Anyways. All right. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to add a little bit of information with the myth before I talk about the Vestal Virgins. Okay. So one thing I do want to mention is that Vesta always has the richest part of the house, and they were kind of decorated like the area of the hearth like a shrine, because Vesta is connected to the hearth, right? And to the flame, the sacrificial flame or whatever. And they this is an important place in the home where you get heat, where you get food. It's just an important place of the home where everyone gathers, and so they always make sure that area was the most beautiful and the richest part. Another cool thing about Vesta as well is you have to go through Vesta before you connect with any other god or goddess. And the reason for that is a lot of the rituals that they did back in the day, they used a flame, they used fire, and she was the sacrificial flame. You sacrifice something of yours and burn it to give it to the gods, right? And so they will have to work through Vesta / Hestia before they can work with the god. And so before every ritual, they acknowledge Vesta or Hestia, then they acknowledge the god that they're trying to reach. And so Vesta was kind of like the assistance of giving gods other things. And so, but and Vesta always had a portion of what the offering, you know what I mean? Because she's like, well, you got to work through me, so what are you gonna pay me? It was kind of like that type of vibe. So You know, you have to go through Vesta before anyone, because she is a part and upkeeps the sacrificial flame and how you give to the gods or goddesses and how you manifest, right? So that's actually very important too. Remember, she is the sacrificial flame, right? So now let's talk about the Vestal Virgins. So the Vestal Virgins were basically a group of women who kept their flame of their community, right? They kept the flame of their community. They were very, 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 very important. They were very, very, very important. And what they had to do was like remain a virgin and had to keep the hearth. And it's kind of like, oh, that sounds so simple. But it was, again, the hearth, the community hearth was extremely important. And so, you know, they had to like keep it going and make sure the fire did not die out. Now, how they selected these women were most likely they were, not most likely, every time they were daughters of important people within the community, within the city. So it's like the daughters of government officials, you know, connected to like some type of royalty, some type of something. They were very, very important daughters of important people, right? And they had to make sure they were young and that they were virgins, so they would get them while they were really, really young, right? And so they would make sure they would get those type of people, important kids of or daughters of important people who were very, very, very young. And so they will, while they were young, they would bring them into training of being a Vestal Virgin. And it was like a whole like ceremony. The whole community was involved. It was like a huge thing. Like these people have very, very important tasks. And so they would be trained to how to be a Vestal Virgin. And part of the training is not was not just, you know, how to keep the hearth fire going, right? It was also connected to how to like refrain from others. You know what I mean? They couldn't really go out and have a normal life. They couldn't date, they couldn't have any romances. Like their main focus and devotion was about keeping the hearth flame going, keeping the sacrificial flame going. And so they had to learn how to like be amongst people with their high status. You get what I'm saying? Another thing too was that they had a great education, probably the best education that not only women had, but what most, the better education than most men had. They were damn near a secret society. They moved in silence. There's a lot of things that people didn't really know about the Vestal Virgins. And so they were very educated, very smart. It was an honor to be in this position. You know what I mean? And they just had to uphold the flame, educate themselves, make sure they're aware of things, do rituals to Vesta, things like that. So that was the main thing, and they had to be trained to do that. And so the tricky thing about the Vestal Virgins though was that like if you were caught violating their guidelines, you know, especially when it came to sex, you would literally die. Like they would execute you. Of course, certain things were harsher than others, but like if you were to have sex, you would be executed in front of the whole community. So, you know, or if you did other things that was harsh, that was against the guidelines, like you would be punished. People took this positioning very, very seriously, and you had to like follow the rules. And that's just what it is. And it sucks because, what's been said is that a lot of women who like got executed most likely didn't even have like romances with other people, basically. So it's like they were killed for no reason, just because of rumors or something, or just because someone saw something and said something, or someone just was mad at a certain Vestal Virgin and like lied. It was really fucked up. But the Vestal Virgins have this energy of being a secret society, of you have to do a certain type of thing and follow certain type of rules and move a certain type of way in order to be down. So I don't know if you guys have listened to my podcast, where I did Podcast to Ween, when I did the death charts of a whole bunch of people, celebrities who passed away. But I saw Vesta as secret societies, and because the Vestal Virgins were a secret society, you know, and so I treated it as that. And when you do, and you hear about the rumors of how certain celebs died, it makes sense. So yes, like Vesta can represent secret societies, and governmental societies, and the government, because they were, you know, these people were children of governmental officials and then end up being government officials themselves, technically, you know. So that is definitely something to keep in mind too. But the Vestal Virgins definitely did like offerings, and, you know, kept the hearth going. Oh, another thing too, if the flame went out, they were in deep trouble. If a specific Vesta Virgin was involved in or responsible of the hearth at that time that it went out, she's executed as well. Again, this is like no joke. This was no freaking joke. This is hot. It was hard. They could barely go out. Like, this was a job that I bet you a lot of them probably regretted. But again, you know, they were devoted into keeping that hearth flame going, to keep doing the rituals, learning the knowledge. You know, this is why Vesta is connected to intelligence. It's because the Vestal Virgins had great intelligence because they were wonderfully educated. You know what I mean? And so, like, there are certain key words when you think about Vesta. When you think about Vesta, there's certain key words. You think about devotion, right? You think about virginity. You think about purity. You think about great focus. You think about abstinence. You think about, you know, intelligence and being educated. You think about being adorned and appreciated. And even riches. You know, I feel like I could really speak on riches too. You know, a part of you, like, if you focus on this part of yourself, you are blessed. You know what I mean? And of course, you know, when interpreting Vesta, I think it is important to include these energies. But if I were to make my own interpretation of Vesta to make sure it touches on everything of the myths and of the Vesta Virgins and all of that, I would say this. This is my interpretation of Vesta. It represents where we practice abstinence to obtain something else. It's sacrificial energy. And you will get alerted when that abstinence can be lost. Again, let me say this one more time. Where we practice abstinence to obtain something else. Sacrificial energy. And you will get alerted when that abstinence can be lost. Okay? So, for instance, you know, with Vesta, you know, she abstained from love and romance in order to obtain goddesshood, and to be a specific goddess, and to create her own position. You know, so someone could say it's where you abstain from romance. You know, someone could totally say that. The Vestal Virgins had to abstain from romance. You know? So, again, you're sacrificing something to get something else. And the part where you will get alerted when an abstinence can be lost definitely speaks on the Priapus story, on how Priapus is, you know, was trying to creep on her, but she got alerted. Thank goodness, right? it gives me the vibe of the Alpha and the Omega as well. Again, like, you can't go to other gods without going through her. You know what I mean? It's kind of like the Yeshua story. You have to go through Yeshua in order to get to God. You have to get through Christ in order to get through God. You know what I mean? It kind of has that type of vibe to it. And so it definitely speaks of that type of energy. So wherever Vesta is in your chart, it represents, you know, what you abstain from in order to get something else. Now, the thing that you're abstaining from usually is represented by the house. And the thing that you're trying to gain is usually connected to the sign. But it can be switched. That's one thing that you have to realize too, that it could be switched. And it could be applied overall too. So let's use my energy for an example, right? I have Vesta in my seventh house in Leo. And so, you know, for me, I would say that I abstain. This is different ways I can interpret it. I abstain from relationships in order to have some self-expression, to be able to express myself and to connect to certain creativities and talents and to have fun and enjoy myself. So I abstain relationships in order to get to that energy. And I actually experienced that personally because I noticed that every time I'm in relationships, you know, my partners tend to be a little bit jealous of my focus on my talents and my creativities and my self-expression. So, yeah, it's just, it can happen that way. But I feel like it could be switched too. So someone can say you're abstaining from self-expression in order to have relationships, because it works both ways. If you abstain relationship for self-expression, you also will abstain your self-expression in order to have relationships. So it could work both ways. It could work holistically in a sense as well, because it's kind of like you're abstaining self-expression in relationships. So you feel like I can't fully express myself in relationships in order to have like the relationship that you want, or in order for in order for my partner to be able to express themselves, I have to know myself. Now, I never did that. Again, I have also moon in the seventh house, so I'm not I ain't gonna do anything like that. But I could see someone interpreting it that way too. But that's how I usually see it. Like, you abstain something in order to have something else. You know? So see how it works in your chart. And see how it applies in your energy. I think you will have a lot of fun kind of looking through that. But yeah, so when you think about Vesta, you know, you could definitely apply the other things I've listed too. Purity, virginity, intelligence, education, you know, sacrifice. Abstinence, you know, also a place where you are adorned and appreciated in your life. Again, devotion and focus is a huge one too. You know, you're abstaining from something so you can have that focus on that other thing that you're looking, that you're wanting. You know, I feel like I have to abstain from relationships in order to really be able to focus on my self-expression and my talents and having fun and enjoying myself, you know? So you see how it goes hand in hand? But yeah, I'm going to conclude it like that. That's what I'm going to conclude this podcast. So, you know, my podcast is going to be a lot shorter. And I want to hear from you guys on how you're affected by this, how it works for you. In the future, it's about probably being like in a month, I'll end up doing like a Vesta series. I think that'll be fun. Talk about Vestas throughout the houses and the signs and shit. But yeah, that's what I have for Vesta. Let me know what y'all think. I would love to hear from everybody. And yeah. God bless and all that shit. All right. So feel free to hit me up via email, astrodim@protonmail.com, to hear, you know, to so I can hear your take on it. If you're interested in getting a reading about your Vesta placement, I would say get the one question reading from my website, astrodim.space. Or even, oh, actually, how about you go on Hey Hero? Because, you know, it is a small... So if you want a mini reading for it, so if you wanted me to just explain the placement of your Vesta, I would say to go to Hey Hero. And if you're like, what? Like, what's Hey Hero? It's a place where people can get consultations, and I do mini readings there. So if you're interested in a mini reading of your Vesta placement, go to Hey Hero. If you're interested in getting a full reading on Vesta, where I talk about the aspects and shit, and even like use some of my intuition, I would say get the one question reading from my website. This is all in the link of all my bios, and so you can reach Hey Hero there, or you can go to heyhero.com/astrodim. But you know, if you're having a hard time finding anything, just go to the links in my bio, and you'll be able to find, you know, my website where you can get readings, as well as Hey Hero if you want a mini reading, okay? But yeah, I hope this was helpful, guys. Let me know if you have any questions. Feel free to email me if you don't want to just chat about it and everything. And yeah, love you much, y'all. Bye.